This week is Parshas Yisro. Yisro is the parish of Matan Torah. Twice a year, or really three times a year, do we experience Matan Torah. Now, obviously, the main experience of Matan Torah takes place on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Even though nowhere in the Torah does it link anywhere explicitly the Yom Tov of Shavuos to be a celebration of Matan Torah. And from the Torah's perspective, it's almost a coincidence that the Yom HaBikurim, the Yom Tov when we begin bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mitzvah Bikurim begins, the Yom Tov when we bring the Shtei HaLechem, just happens to coincide with the anniversary of Matan Torah. Chazal, Torah Shebal Peh, have exploited this seeming coincidence and have told us nothing further than the truth, although it's hidden in the Torah, but it is Yoy Matan Torah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And the entire festival of Shavuos has turned into a celebration of Yoy Matan Torah, all part of Torah Shebal Peh. And what do? To bring out the Yoy Matan Torah Seinu, what is the Minhag Yisrael? To lay the Aseres HaDibros on the first day of Shavuos, even though those learned Daf Yomi not that long ago in Daf Yomi Masechet Megillah, it is discussed in great detail what should be the Kriyas HaTorah on the Shavuos. Even the Gemara doesn't say we should learn from Parshas Yisro. The Gemara says it's supposed to learn from Toras Kehanim. It's very, very interesting. The Gemara doesn't even mention learning from. How did it happen that today it is the Minhag Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael, to lay on the first day of Shavuos Parshas Yisro, and not laying Parshas Emor, the parish of the Moadim? It's a very big topic of discussion in the Masechta Megillah. But in any event, that's how it is. The bottom line is, today it is accepted, Torah Shebal Peh, Hanach Lehem L'Yisrael, L'Me'enu Nevim, B'nei Nevim, the festival of Shavuos is a festival of celebrating reenactment of Yoim Matan Torah. Okay, so very nice. Come Shavuos, and celebrate Matan Torah. It's an experience. But the truth is that when you read the Parshas HaShavua and you come across Kriyas Yam Suf, you come across Matan Torah, you come across any event in the Torah, it is also in a very significant way, to a very large degree, also a celebration, a reenactment of that particular event. And in fact, some of the commentators tell us it's even more. It's more of a celebration, a reenactment of Matan Torah this week, this Shabbos, than it is on Shavuos, because it's natural. On Shavuos, it's not natural. We're in the middle of the Sidra, we're in the middle of going to the Chamish Echom Shei Torah, and all of a sudden we switch, we do something unusual, and we change. Mr. Cohen, can I ask you a favor? Mr. Cohen? Can I ask you guys a favor? Yeah. Can you maybe just check the doors open outside? Or maybe pull because it gets I feel now the gush of cold air, because they open up the door, keep the door open, that's why the gush of cold air comes in. So what happens, so many of the comments are just the opposite, that there's a very big advantage of celebrating the reenactment of Matan Torah this week in Parshas Yisro, because it's natural. It's part of the Sidra, the order of the Parshios. We're going through the Parshios, we're going through Chamish Echom Shei Torah, and here, in a natural, comfortable setting, we come across Parshas Yisro, where we read about Matan Torah, we stand up, and we read the Aseres HaDibros in an unusual trap. It's a reenactment. And when you do something naturally, it's much more profound and part of you than when you do something unnatural. Taking artificial ingredients to give flavor food is not the same when the food has natural. You want something that tastes like an orange. Ein doime, adding ingredients of the actually putting an orange, squeezing an orange into the food, then taking some chemicals that have been manufactured in the lab to mimic the taste of an orange to give the food orange flavor. Everyone understands that. When it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we stop everything that we're doing in order to get into the mood. It's the anniversary, it's the Yom HaZikaron, we should all come together and reaffirm our vows to Hashem. That's, you're breaking away from your daily Seder Hayom. But this Shabbos, we're not breaking away from anything. This is what we do every week. This is part of our life. This is part of the Seder Hayom, the Seder HaShavua. This is part of the Seder of Chaim. And Matan Torah. And we naturally reenact Matan Torah. Its effect is more profound than something that we break away from. Okay, this is old Torah. This is not telling you any chiddush. What am I trying to tell you over here? I want to focus on another fundamental difference. When we come to Yom Tov of Shavuos and we reenact Matan Torah, we reenact only Matan Torah. The laning begins b'chodesh hashlishi letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bohu midbar Sinai. We just cut and paste. We're very selective in what we're going to focus on. This week, when we come to reenact Matan Torah, we don't start with b'chodesh hashlishi. We start a whole section in advance. We start with Vayishma Yisroi Choyhei Midian. Choyhei Moshe, a whole long description he was. Eis kol asher osa Elokim l'Moshe u'lisholamo. Ki yitzi Hashem eshol mimitzrayim. We have much longer of introduction to Matan Torah. And Shavuos, by the way, you know, why is it even necessary to go start with B'chodesh HaShlishi? It's a long laning on Shavuos. You could really, all you need is 5 aliyahs. Each aliyah needs 3 psukim. Okay, the Aseres Hadibros has to be 1 aliyah. You can start a mamish a few psukim before. We start B'chodesh HaShlishi. It's a quite lengthy laning for the first day of Shavuos, when the only thing we really need to read is the Aseres Hadibros. We start on Shavuos with Revi. If we really wanted, we can start from Shishi. Okay, we don't have to read the whole end. You know, we can start with Chamishi or the middle. Okay, we can figure out exactly where we can start from, but is it really necessary to start with going so far back? Obviously, the Hakdama is very important. If Chazal instituted that we should begin on Yom Tov of Shavuos with B'chodesh HaShlishi, obviously that section of the Torah is significant, necessary. That's where Chazal wanted us to start from, because that's where there's going to be an important lesson as an introduction to Matan Torah. But guess what? This week, that's not enough. This week, the introduction to Matan Torah has to begin with Yisro. Why is that so? Especially if we take note of the fact that according to many commentators, Yisro came after Matan Torah. So it's not even necessarily a good intro to Matan Torah when the event of Yisro arriving to Klal Yisro to join them took place after they received the Torah.
So this section, that episode should either be the previous parsha or
You can ask the question in many different ways. What's going on here? I want to make a very simple suggestion. Chazal over here are not in the business. We're not in the business of repetition. It's true we are mekabel the Torah twice a year. It's not really twice, really three times. Because in Parashas for Eschanan we lay in the Aseres Hadibros again. So it's also a Kabbalah HaTorah. That's different though, because there we're focusing on the Luchos Shniyos. There is a record of the Luchos Shniyos. So it's a different focus. But let's just, twice a year we lay in Parashas Yisro. Twice a year. We lay it to Shabbos and we lay it on Shavuos. And each time that we lay it, it's clear as day, it's a reenactment. It's not just, you know, we read the Pesukim. We stand. The Minhag Yisrael today is to stand for the Aseres Hadibros. The Minhag Yisrael, by the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, the vast majority is to lay Aseres Hadibrois in Tam Elyon, not in Tam Tachtoy. Which means we take the psukim, we join them together to reenact them as if there are 10 statements, not 10 commandments. There are a lot more than 10 commandments. That's not a correct term. It's not a Jewish term. There are 10 statements. In each statement, there are many commands. We reenact, we read the psukim as if they are being given to us today. It's a reenactment. We do it tomorrow, and we do it during Shul. Why twice? The answer lies in the introduction. It's not repetitious. The introduction to the Kabbalah Satorah on the Yom Tov of Shavuos is a communal Kabbalah. V'chodesh hashlishi litzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'yom hazeh bohu midbar Sinai. We accept the Torah as a kehila, as a tzibur. That is the Kabbalah of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Tomorrow, make no mistake, it's a Kabbalah Satorah. Tomorrow is no different than Shavuos. You should really decorate the Aron HaKodesh, have a chuppah, stay up the whole night. You stay up the whole night tonight. It's Kabbalah Satorah. The Chazal say this. If we're laying the Tamar, the Aseres Adibros, in Atam Elyon, and we're going to stand, this is the real deal. We are reenacting Kabbalah Satorah. How many times do we have to do this? What's the difference? It's the introduction. The introduction is Vayishma Yisra, a loner, a single individual in the far remote corner of the world. There's something in his heart that awakens him and demands that he come, appear, and join Klal Yisra. It's the yochid, the individual. Yisro is a very complicated person. Every single type of person can identify with Yisro in one respect. Some people are world leaders. So Yisro, he was the Kohen Midian. But you know, Yisro at a point in time in his life was banned. He was censored. He was canceled. He was a loner because Yisro abandoned. Okay, I don't remember all the details, but Yisro had a very complicated life.
Because he rejected Paro,
so he ran away from Paro. When you study the life of Yisro, Yisro had many lives. He declared bankruptcy many, many times. He had 7 daughters, after all. Okay, Yisro had a very, very complicated life, and that's, in fact, how Parsha begins. Vayishma Yisro. Just his name alone. Then he's called a Kohen, the Kohen of Midian. He's the Chosein Moshe. There are many elements to Yisro. And every single person, as an individual, whether you're popular, whether you're an enemy of the state, whether you are a fugitive, whether you are just an average guy, your average Joe, every individual can identify to a degree with Yisro. And Yisro made a decision in his life that he wants to join Klal Yisro. He wants to be part of the action. When that is the intro to Kabbalah Satorah. It is a Kabbalah Satorah of the Yochid. There's a Kabbalah Satorah of the Tzibur, and there is a Kabbalah Satorah of the individual. And both are very, very different. They're very different experiences. As the individual wanting to be part of it, and as a kehila, a tzibur as a whole, coming to be mekabel upon themselves, the Ol Malchus Shemayim being mekabel the Torah. The intro is really what sets the tone for the event. Shavuos, there's a long intro. The parasha could have began much later. Didn't need to read every single detail. We could have started a lot later in the parasha. No, the intro is important. The Gantz Klal Yisrael came, Bachodesh Hashlishi of leaving Egypt as a tzibur. They came to Midbar Sinai to Mekabel the Torah. It's the tzibur. This week, there's a different intro. The focus of the intro is the individual. Even a person who is a loner, who's far away in a different world, has no connection. Every person to a degree feels is isolated, he's his own person. There's a uniqueness to every individual. They also have a chelik in the makabel of the Torah. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. Beginning of Yisrael, it says here, Vayishma Yisrael. What did Yisrael hear? Vayishma Yisrael, what did he hear? So Rashi says he heard Mashmua Shomor Bo, Kriyas Yamsuf, Umulchemes Amolek. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard about Umulchemes Amolek. Two amazing, amazing things happened. The Yam split. Miraculous event. He heard about Umulchemes Amolek. A massive, mighty army was defeated by a few, by Klal Yisrael, who just left Egypt. They were weak. The Ata Oyev V'yogea, as it says in Parashas Kiseitse. Weak people, Oyev, tired, V'yogea, and yet they were able to defeat Amalek. Amazing. It's pretty amazing. Miracles. He was inspired, and Yeshua arrives. Okay, so he comes. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Eis kol asher osa elokim." The pasuk true shel mikra. Besides Kriyas Yamsuf, besides Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechemes Amalek. Besides these two things, he comes and "Eis kol asher osa elokim leMoshe." Everything that Hashem did for Moshe, uli Yisrael amo ki chitzi Hashem es Yisrael b'mitzrayim. So what does he do? He takes Sipora, he takes Moshe's two children, and he arrives. And he says, I'm coming to you and your wife and your children. Now here comes what's very interesting. Moshe goes out to greet him. He says, Shalom Aleichem. And then Pasuk says, Vayisaper Moshe lechoisnoi eis kol asher oso Hashem lefaro ulemitzrayim. Al oidois Yisrael, eis kol hatelo asher mitzosim baderech, v'yatzileim Hashem. And Moshe tells Yisrael, you know what happened to us? Let me tell you a story. We were slaves in Egypt. We suffered. Hashem came, brought upon them ten makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes Amalek, and look where we are today. Yisrael must have been looking at Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe, I know. Why do you think I'm here? Save your breath. I don't need you to tell me what happened. Why do you think I came? Moshe, you're wasting your time. You're telling me this. I saw the movie. I already saw the Ten Commandments. I don't need you to go and review with me play by play. I got it on my phone. I have all the pictures. I read all the reports. Moshe is telling him, Vayisaper Moshe l'choisnoi, Eis, kol asher osa Hashem, lefaro, ule mitzrayim, aloidois Yisrael, Eis kol hatlasher mitzosam baderech, vayatzilem Hashem. Oh, excuse me, how did the parasha begin? The parasha began, Vayishma Yisroi choyhein midyon chasein Moshe. He heard. What did he hear? Eis kol asher osa elokim l'moshe, Uli Yisrael amo ki yoitzi Hashem es Yisrael mimitzrayim. He knows the story. He read the book. He saw the movie.
It was on all the news.
It's all the news channels.
He was hearing it firsthand
from Moshe Rabbeinu. He's hearing it firsthand. Is it really necessary? What is going on? Why is Moshe even bother to repeat to him the story? So the answer, what? What?
They discussed it.
Yeah, the pasuk says Vayisaper.
Yeah.
Why? Why is this necessary? Because it says in the beginning of the parasha, Vayishma Yisrael, Yisrael heard every little.
So we heard it from the mainstream media.
Yeah.
But now, Moshe tells it the full story.
The full story? That's okay. That's a pshat. It's a very nice pshat. But are you satisfied with that answer?
All I do know
is it necessary?
We did hear a story that so-and-so said this psalm. Okay, very nice. But when you hear it directly from the person itself now...
Okay, but does the Torah is not in the business of telling us what they ate for lunch. It says over here that they ate lechem. All they lechem. They didn't have soup. They didn't have cholent. in Kugel. The Torah doesn't go into every single little detail.
And by the way, there are different lists of what he heard.
Oh, okay. You're coming to touch upon something. But on a very simple level, if the Torah would not have written this pasuk. Let's say you take the whole parasha, and now you come to Vayetzi Moshe Likras Choista Vayishtachavu Loi Vayishak Loi Vayishalu Ish Lireu Lishalom Vayivohoyla. And let's skip pasuk Ches, pasuk Tes, and pasuk Yud, and just go right away, cut to the chase. Vayhimi Mocharos. Vayeshev Moshe Lishvares Ha'am, and Yisrael sees, doesn't like what he sees, and he gives Musar, makes suggestions, v'chulu v'chulu. What's this whole conversation going on over here? Why is Yisrael here to begin with? The only reason why he's here to begin with is because Vayishma Yisrael. The pasuk says it explicitly. What's going on over here? Why do we need this elaboration, this conversation? He rejoiced, Baruch Hashem. That's obvious. It doesn't tell us all the details. It doesn't tell us the hotel that Moshe put him up in the desert. It doesn't tell us the menu. It doesn't tell us what is going on over here. So I want to suggest to you the following insight. Yeah?
But it says the Tav Gezer. It says, "Vayisabem
Moshe lechotlo et kol asher asah Hashem letfar." Okay, so you're coming now. So obviously, you're touching upon what we want to delve into. Obviously, he's telling him a different story. Yisro heard one story, or Machol. Maybe you also touched upon this, but he's telling him. A different story. Now, I mean even more than a different story.
Maybe you can say that this is the reason, because to shot right after it says Vayichad Yisrael, and you know the Shotem of Vayichad. So this shows you that Moshe told him this, and that affected his mood.
Okay, you're touching upon everything. What everyone is saying is exactly what we're trying to get. We have to identify with more precision what is going on over here. You can say many ideas. I want to try to give a mahalik that gives a bit more precision. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, Yisro, in my suggestion, is Yisro knew every last detail. Okay? Mainstream media had no choice but to report the MS in this instance. Every last detail was known to Yisro. And Moshe, in truth, did not tell Yisro any detail that he did not know. The difference was, he told Yisro, "You're making a big mistake. You are coming here for the wrong reason. You're coming here because you saw the whole show, you heard every detail. What triggered you to come is the blessing, the good, the success of Klal Yisrael. Now we are supreme. The world is afraid of us. We've defeated Amalek. We've escaped from the world power of Egypt. We reign supreme, and the world is in terror from the Jewish people. They're in pachad. They have respect. They have awe. That's why you're coming. You saw what happened to the Egyptians. You saw our success. You want to, if you can, beat them, join them. You want to be part of the winner. You want to be on the winning team. You're making a big mistake. If that's why you're coming here, go back where you came from. Go back to your hold. The lesson, the takeaway of Yitzias Mitzrayim is the suffering that we've gone through. And it's explicit. It says her ace called, there are a lot of differences. It mentions Paro, as Rav Kalman mentioned. It mentions the term Al Oidois Yisrael, which we'll get to in a second. But I think the centerpiece that changes the entire attitude of what happened, in other words, something which Yisrael completely ignored, Eis Kol Hatilo'o. That's a very hard word to translate. I'm going to loosely translate it to mean the hardship, Asher Mitzo'o Samba Derech. It wasn't, this success that we achieved did not come without a price. We suffered. It was a very difficult matzah. Look at the word hatlo, because it comes from the word oyefiyogeya. We suffered quite a bit. Four-fifths of the Jewish people did not survive. We suffered crushing slave labor. We have now the mon. The mon is no picnic either. Vaya anecha, vaya rivecha. We have to raise our spiritual level to a state where we are deserving of the mon. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We now are supreme. We have blessing. It's unbelievable. You know something? The blessing is not forever. That's not the way Hashem runs his world. Hashem sometimes gives blessing, and sometimes Hashem doesn't give blessing. He hides the blessing. That's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to serve. I'm here to serve and to deal with the situation at hand, be'emuna shalema. And sometimes it's pleasant, and sometimes it's not so pleasant. There was tila'ah. And when you see the Egyptians were defeated, don't look at their defeat as just, you know, a coincidence, a military defeat. Their defeat has musar. Their defeat came al oidois Yisrael. It wasn't just, oh, the Jews rose up, they are supreme, they're powerful, they're mighty, and they just take out a sledgehammer and crush the Egyptians. It's not koichi v'oitzem yodi osliyas achayel hazeh. That's the wrong attitude. The reason why the Egyptians were defeated was because al oidois Yisrael. They did it to themselves. It's because of the harm. It's not because the Jewish people, they're powerful and they're mighty and they can push their weight around. The Egyptians were defeated because they did it to themselves. Everything that happened to them was because he, Moshe, is the words, al oidois Yisrael, on account of what he himself did to the Jewish people. It's not what the Jewish people did to him. It's not because the Jewish people are more mighty than him. The Jewish people are not mighty. They're weak. It's because Pyro shot himself in the foot. He did it to himself. Moshe Rabbeinu put Yisro in an entirely different frame of mind. Yisro, you're coming here? Vayishma Yisro. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf, Mochemes Amolek. The Jews are mighty and they're powerful and they're experiencing miracles. L'malim derech hateva. Moshe Rabbeinu, wow, he's now on top of the world. Uli Yisrael Amo. Moshe says, you heard it. Moshe says, let me tell you, you're coming because of what Hashem did to Moshe. You know why you should come? Because what Hashem did to Paro. Not because of my godless, I'm so great. You know why you should come? Because look, because of Paro you should be coming. You're coming for the wrong reason. You stated you're coming to me because Eis kol asha os Hashem l'moyshe. Wrong. The reason why you should be coming is Eis asha os Hashem l'paro. And why? Not because we did anything to him. We're just pawns in Hashem's hands. It's al oidois Yisrael. Because of what he did to the Jewish people who represent the Am Hashem, the Am HaNivchar. Mi Hashem asher eshma b'koilo. Lo yedada yes Hashem. That's why he was defeated. Yisro, you got it all wrong. This is the way the Edim talks to the Shver. This is Rav Meir, you like this? This is how he's giving the Shver Musa. Starke Musa. The Shver, you're all wrong. Totally off in why you came over here. Yisro, to his credit, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. I made a big mistake. And in fact, that also comes to explain the big machlekes. Why did he leave? Why did he leave? Before we get to Vayichi, let's go to the very end of the story. End of the story is he left. End of the story is he left. That's what it says, no? Vayelech loy el artsoy. What a letdown. What's going on here? Ayishma Yisro, the whole glory, he comes, and then he leaves. Why did he leave? He was defeated. He was defeated. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him such a musa. He needs to go back and think about it. Moshe, you're right. I came for the wrong reasons. I came for the wrong reason. And Moshe gave him musa. Not totally. Now let me try to tell you a drush. A drush to prove this point. What was Yisro's response? Vayichad Yisroi. Pshutai shol mikra, Rashi. The word vayichad is lashon simcha. Chedva. He rejoiced. Very nice. Pashup. Ein hamikra yoytze midei pshuta. But then Rashi brings down two more perushim. Lashon yichad is chad, sharp, goosebumps. He yatzar. Vayichad yisro yatzar, pain. What do you have pain? So Rashi says, Rashi, it is Rashi, because the Egyptians were his friends. He had a soft spot for the Egyptians. So when you hear that, even though they were wicked and they were defeated, you know, they were my buddies, my schoolmates from back in the day. So don't ever say to a ger, a convert, don't ever go in the mevazeh, the nation from which he came from, because even though he has converted, it's only human nature to have sympathy for your comrades. Okay, so Rashi says, "Vayichad nase b'sorei chidudim chidudim," and then Rashi says a third interpretation. Chad means sharp, sharp knife. Yisro took out a knife, a blade, and he sliced off the arlo. He converted. He took out a knife and he cut. He sliced off the arlo. I want to now work with the interpretation, Rashi's third interpretation. Vayichad means he took out a knife. But instead of slicing, in addition to slicing off the orla, what else did he slice off? Vayichad Yisro, he sliced off the words, Al kol hatoivo asher oso Hashem li Yisrael. You know why I came? What's the reason why I came to join you? I came to join you because of Al kol hatoivo asher oso Hashem, for the good. Moshe said to him, you're making a big mistake. If that's why you came, go back where you came from. You know why you should come? You should become of Al kol hatilo'o. All of the tzar. The pain. The pain is what has refined us. It is the core habarzel. It was the experience of seeing the Yad Hashem in the difficult times. That's what makes the Jewish people great. And that's why you should want to join us. Because only in Klal Yisrael will you be able to grow from the tila'ah, the hardships. You're coming here because of Al Kol HaToivah? That's a disaster. You want to join the Jewish people because you want to benefit from their blessing? Blessing comes and goes. Other nations sometimes have more blessing. That's Hashem's business. Yisro took out a sharp knife. He reviewed in his mind, why did I come? Why did I come? You know why I came? I came to join the Jewish people. Al kol hatoiva. Asher osa Hashem. For Yisrael. After the Musar Shmuz, he took out a knife and he sliced that out. He cut that away. Put that in the garbage. That's not why I came. Well, that's not why I should have come. I should have come like Moshe told me, because what Hashem did to Paro, to a mechutzef that says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshmal L'Koyla. It's not because of the greatness, our greatness. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed who he is, and Hashem doesn't tolerate wicked people like Paro that speak like that. The reason why you come is because the Hatila'ah, Hashem has refined us through the difficult times. He sliced off our kol hatoivah. Now, part two. The Aseret, this is the Hakdama to Kabbalah Satoira. There is something that is missing in the Aseres HaDibros. Chazal only focus on one thing that's missing. There's one expression that's missing. How do we know it's missing? Because in the Luchos Shniyos, mysteriously it reappears. In the Luchos Shniyos. And what is missing? Liman Yitav Loch. In the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. And what does it say in the Luchos Shniyos? Leman yitav loch v'horachta. I don't remember the exact words, but it says there are two expressions. Leman yitav loch. If you give honor to your father and your mother, you can be certain that it will be good for you and you will live a long life. In the Luchos Rishonos that we're going to learn tomorrow, it does not say Leman Yitav Lach. The only thing it says is Leman Yarichun Yomecha. You live a long life. Why? Chazal Ein Mikro Yotze Midei Pshuta Pshuta Shal Mikro. The reason why it is not mentioned is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he foresaw that the Luchos Rishonos would be shattered, and when the Luchos were shattered, it has an effect, a cosmic effect, on the world. So if the words Leman Yitav Lach would have been shattered, Chas V'Shalom Poska Toiva MiYisrael. So Hashem and His Rachamim did not want that we should have whatever these words mean. These are words that are obviously different Kabbalah. These are very mystical words. But if the words Yitav Lach were part of the shattering, it would have an effect on the blessing of Klal Yisrael. Hashem did not want us to be denied, so Hashem conveniently deleted or omitted the words of Leman Yitav Lach from the Luchos Rishonos, and he saved them for the second Luchos, which would not be shattered. This is the Pshutoi Shal Mikra, what Chazal said. But I want now to go off on a Machashava, a Drush, and explain there's another reason why Leman Yitav Lach is omitted from the Luchos Rishonos. And that's because Klal Yisrael should know that when they're given the Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, the goal of being Mekabel the Torah is not Leman Yitav Lach. That's not the purpose of receiving the Torah. The reason why I want the Torah is because I want a good Shidduch. I want to be rich. I want to have an easy life. I want to have pleasure, kavod, prestige. It's a good business. A yeshiva is a good business. It gives me a place, you know, to park, to put my hat, to park my... I'm in it for the wrong reasons. Is that why you want to be mekabel the Torah? Because you want to, it's a good religion, because this religion gives you benefits. Is that like a tafkid of yadus? No. That's a terrible, terrible chord. You know what the purpose of being mekabel the Torah? It's leman yarichun yomecha, the long life opportunity. The longer you live, every day brings new opportunity to do new mitzvahs, new chesed, new insight into the way Hashem runs this world. It affects your neshama, it molds your neshama in a new dimension, with new dimensions, which is a hachana for the next world. It's about living long, because every single day, what's chayesha all about? What's all about chayesha? Let the guy live another couple of months. Okay, the doctors, they say, listen, the guy's gonna die. Anyway, his matziv is terminal. You know, we'll just give him a little more morphine. And we'll get him out of here. Instead of 6 months, we'll get him out of here in 3 months. So maybe they're right. Why aren't they right? I'll save him a few $1 million. Person won't suffer so much. Family won't have to come visit so many times. You'll solve a healthcare system. Why not? What's so bad? There's a lot of logic behind it. Even from a religious perspective, why is it anathema to Orthodox Judaism, this approach? Because you don't understand. Every single day, whether you realize it or not, a person is experiencing a new dimension of Hashem's world that he did not experience yesterday. It may not be so obvious, but that's how it is. Every single day that a person lives in this world, he experiences, there's always a new experience. There's always sometimes an ability to reflect, to see how the pieces come together, what happened 50 years ago. Sometimes you hear something in the news. You may not realize it in your consciousness, but in your subconsciousness or your neshama, there's always something new, a new dimension, which is a conditioning of the soul for the next world. And to deny a person that awareness of being alive and just even sitting in a hospital bed and people talking to him and just experiencing life, or even his mind subconsciously thinking, whatever all these things, we don't know how these things work, but there is a leman yarichun yomecha. Leman yitav loch. You want to go live in this world because you want to have a wonderful life and be rich and famous, successful, good food and good company. You're in it for the wrong reason. And therefore Hashem deliberately omitted leman yitavach. Not chas v'shalom to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give people a good life in the kind of the Torah. Of course Hashem is. But that's not the proper perspective. It's a given that there will be blessing, there will be good. And the proof is in the second luchais, then once you already got the message, now we can put leman yitav loch back in. But in the first luchais, what is the attitude that you have when you come? That cannot be the attitude. It's a guarantee that you will certainly get bracha lili leman yitav loch. The proof is it's the luchas shniyos. But delicately, it was omitted from the luchas rishonos as a musar. Don't join Klal Yisrael. Don't be mekabel the Torah for the wrong reasons. You're here to serve. You're not here to get a pension. That's not the purpose. What's the beginning of the parasha? The beginning of the parasha is a long hakdama, the hakdama of Yisrael. And what is the takeaway of the hakdama of Yisrael? Vayichad Yisrael al kol hatoiva. The introduction to Matan Torah is to slice away, take out a sharp knife, and cut away al kol hatoiva. That's not the purpose of being mekabel the Torah. There will be a toiva. You're guaranteed there will be toiva. Don't worry about that. The schar is also lovely, but that's not the focus. The whole hakdama is a conversation between Moshe and Yisro, where Yisro is coming for the toiva, and Moshe is coming to correct him. You come because of my greatness. Al asher osa Hashem le Moshe. Wrong. You should come here because of Asa Hashem leParo. Because Paro had the chutzpah to say, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoila. Someone who talks like that, they're wiped off the map. You're coming here for all the good? Wrong. You come here Al Kol Hatilo, the hardship. All of the suffering, the Egypt, all of our victory, it's not because we're powerful and we're mighty. It's al oidois Yisrael. It's because what they did it to themselves. That's why you come. Not because of the toiva. And Yisrael got the message, vayichad Yisrael, he took out a sharp knife and he sliced away al kol ha-toiva. And now when you got that down pat, now you're going to understand that when I'm going to give you the Aseres HaDibros, it's not going to say Leman Yitav Loch. Everything of the Big Yisrael is a Hakdama in order to explain why the words Leman Yitav Loch are omitted from the Aseres HaDibros. And now when you appreciate that, then we'll do it again, the Luchos Shniyos, and they will put the words Leman Yitav Loch. You'll get your blessing. That's a guarantee. Hashem is not coming to harm anyone. You'll get your bracha in the right time, in the right place, as long as you have the right attitude towards Kabbalah Satayr. Okay, that's this one. Let me share with you another idea, another short idea. We have here in this week's parasha the inyan of V'chol Ha'om Royim Esakoyitz. Okay, they saw the koyitz. Now, interesting is that there are two. There are two Rashis, two Psukim, where Rashi says exactly the same thing. Rashi, he tells us twice that Matan Torah, the Jews, anyone who was blind, was healed from his blindness. It's very, now Rashi, you know, Rashi is very, Rashi tries to limit himself. You know, it's infinite what the commentary that you could write. So Rashi is not in the business of repeating himself. Yet, after the Aseres HaDibros, what does it say? V'cholam roimes ha-koylois. Look at Rashi, Pasik, let's see, Rashi, Pasik, Tezvav, who was the right Rashi, I'm getting, oh, I shouldn't say the wrong thing. Roines HaKoylois, Pasik, Tezvav, Melamed, Shelo Hoya Bohem Echod Suma. There was not one person who was blind. Uminayin, Shelo Hoya Bohem, and then he goes on to an Elaim, then he goes on to the other, the one that was a mute, deaf mute, Vayanu. Okay. Now Rashi, before Yaseres HaDibros, it says, he says the same thing. Let me try to find it. I'm probably not going to be able to find it. Probably lost it. But over here it says, Oshem Kuloi. And Rashi has says somewhere, who's the big expert here on Rashi? We have really some El Hashem Lirois. Some people here, they always able to tell me where the Rashi is before I can find it. I saw it this morning here. Let's see. Where is it? Somewhere over here. All right. You should never trust me. What? But no, you should never trust me. Everything you have to see inside, but we'll do our homework later. There's another Rashi that says everyone was healed. Everyone was healed in Matan Torah. Let's see if I could have some Siyat Shmaya to find it here very quickly. By Hagbola. Eilech HaDevarim. I'm going to call on Mr. Rappaport. He's always very good at this. He's finding me the Rashis. Finding me the Rashis that I can't. Atem Isem. Okay, I'm not going to spend time on this now, but it's here somewhere. Rashi, before Matan Torah, says they were all miraculously healed. They were miraculously healed from any illness that they had. So why is it necessary for Rashi to say it twice? Rashi to say that the Jewish people were healed. So I want to say al derech pshat, there are two types of blindness. There's a physical blindness, and then there is a blindness of the mind, where there are things, lessons, and messages that you can see in plain sight, and you're just blind to see. Okay, sometimes in life we have. Okay, sometimes in life we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us through events. An event happens, something happens, unusual. No, it's a coincidence. Just a coincidence. What's the big deal? It happens all the time. And you can prove it scientifically that this is really a message, a divine message. But many people deep down in their hearts, when they experience something, they know Hashem is speaking to them. Can't prove it. You go even to a rabbi. The rabbi will say, listen, you know, these things happen all the time. Don't make much of it. We don't live in a world where we understand how things work. Don't get carried away. But sometimes people, deep down in their heart, they know this is a message. Hashem is speaking to me, and they know what to do. They know they should. Anyway, you're supposed to be doing many. Anyway, we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to, the right thing. And then very more often than not, we just slack off for whatever the reasons are. And sometimes Hashem sends us messages where to be mechazik us to do what we anyway should be doing to strengthen us. Unfortunately, more often than not, we're blind. We're actually blind to seeing these messages. What's right in front of us in plain sight, we just don't see. It's hidden in plain sight. By Matan Torah, it says there are two psukim here in the Torah which Chazal make a drasha, repetition. That the Jewish people, there was not one member of Klal Yisrael who was blind. And anyone who was blind was healed. Why is it necessary for Chazal to focus on two separate psukim, one before Matan Torah, one after Matan Torah, to tell us basically the same exact thing? It's repetitious. We don't like to have anything that's repetitious. We've learned Daf Gemara, you know that every single letter has to be accounted for. And the answer I want to suggest is that the first time it's representing a physical blindness. Because the Shbaruch and Matan Torah healed the Jewish people, they should be fit, healthy, and awake, alert, in the best of health, in order to be Mekabel the Torah. After Kabbalah Satorah, when they receive the Torah is a tool. A person who learns a Daf Gemara every day, a person who learns Chumash Rashi every Shabbos, person who learns Kol Hashoyne Halacha is Bechol Yoyim, a little Halacha every day, Muftach Lo Shuben Olam Haba, it's magic. Torah has a magical koyach to awaken a person, to give him sight, to take away the blindness of the mind. And when he witnesses, when he experiences events, he sees things in his daily activities, he can actually see HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him. He sees Hashem communicating with him through just natural everyday occurrences. And if he doesn't see Hashem, everything is just, you know, everything is a coincidence and there's no Hashgacha Pratis, he is blind. He is literally blind. If you listen to the news, listen to some things that go on in the world, there are people out there who are brilliant people, brilliant. They have degrees. These are not phonies. These are people who have devoted their entire life to pursue knowledge, understanding, and yet they're blind. They're just totally blind to see things in plain sight. It's there in plain sight. What are the tools available in this world to take away that blindness? Matan Torah. After the Torah was given, the first pasuk, V'chol asher l'dayecho. You finished Aseres HaDibros, Baruch Atah Hashem, and now you start. Next Aliyah, Ya'amoid v'shvi v'chol ha'om royim es ha'koylois. They were makabel of the Torah, and guess what? Blindness was cured. Blindness was cured. What do you mean blindness was cured? What do you mean? Rashi on this pasuk says, hey, you see, there was no one that was blind. What are you talking about? We already said that they were cured from their blindness in the beginning of the parasha, which I can't find for you at this moment. But I have no doubt, I'm willing to bet everything that I read at Rashi this morning in preparation, that they were healed from their blindness. What's going on? No. We're dealing here with a different blindness. A blindness of seeing Hashem. Of seeing Hashem communicate with you in plain sight. The person's mind is closed to spirituality. He's walking around in darkness. With all of his money, all of his brilliance, all of his power and his success and fame, you're blind. You're a blind bat. When you're makabel the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, now you can see. You can see v'chol ha'om royim es ha'koilos. You can see Hashem speak to you in plain sight. Now, as an elaboration on this, what b'chlal does it mean to see sound? Now, today we can do that. Today, you can download a free program. I used to use what's called Audacity. It's a great name for an audio editing program. If you want to edit audio, you have a recording that's not so clear, and you want to clean it up, you want to slice it, you want to connect different clips, or you want to clean out an echo, the best software is really it's from Adobe. Adobe has an unbelievable software. A fellow from Torah Anytime, Mayor Summers, he showed me what he can do with sound. I could not believe what I was listening to. You don't have to know how to use these programs. They're very sophisticated, expensive programs. You can take the worst sound and you can remaster it if you know how. It's just not to be believed. Your artificial intelligence can do to clean up audio that's horrible. But even laymen like me, you can download free software and you can do some pretty good stuff also. So when you edit audio, you know, it's visual. you see on the screen the waves, and you can manipulate them, and you can clean it up. When you make sound into, you visualize sound, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience to take sound and to visualize it. You can even make it three-dimensional. That's really amazing. And you can then edit the sound. It's like, you know, your DNA, you can do the same thing, supposedly. You can go play around with the DNA. That's playing with God's creation. That's pretty dangerous. But there is a new technology. But let's go away from that. Let's just talk about it more conceptually. There are many perushim on what this pasuk means. V'chol ha'am royim es hakolos. Chazal say, einoy doimesh shmiya l'ri'iya. Doesn't necessarily mean that seeing is believing. No, seeing is, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It's not necessarily what it means. Because, you know, scientifically, I always tell you this, is that in the world of marketing, radio advertising is much, much more powerful than visual ads. How long does a visual billboard, what's it called? Billboard? Was it called? Mm-hmm. How long your eye sees it for a fraction of a second. If you're listening to a radio and they say, Diet Coke, Diet Coke, do you know that in your mind, the words Diet Coke linger for 3 seconds. What's more powerful? It's infinitely more powerful to hear someone on the radio say Diet Coke than to see a billboard, a massive billboard that says Diet Coke. Because the massive billboard that says Diet Coke, you know how long it lasts in your mind? Not even a fraction of a second. But when someone says to you, Diet Coke, in your mind, Diet Coke lingers for 3 seconds. So you'll do much better spending your money, your marketing budget, on radio advertising than on visual advertising, because the effect is much more profound. So what's better? Shmiya is better than Ria. Oh, but yeah, when you want to describe something, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Ain't a doimish. So when all the Chazal say, don't abuse Chazal. Don't abuse. Ain't a doimish, Shmiya l'Ria. Chazal never said that Ria is better. He never said that. All they said was, ain't a doimish, Shmiya l'Ria. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. Each one is separate. Each one has its milas. And if you put them together, wow. Put them together, you get the best of both worlds. You have multimedia. Multimedia. You have audio with video together. Wow, that's really good. That's multimedia. Then you combine the milas of both together. Now let's go off a little bit more. And There's another fundamental difference between Shemiya and Re'iyah in the eyes of, in the terms of Chazal. Shemiya is usually referred to the past. Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael, he heard. He wakes up in the morning and you hear a report. The word Shemiya has a connotation of the past. You know what happened yesterday? You know what happened last week? You know what happened? They declassified information from 50 years ago. Wow, now we know. Now we know what happened with Oswald. Now they taco, they declassified new information that no one ever knew until now. That he was taco, he was actually trained to kill, however, the Russians, the CIA. The Russians, they canceled his mission. They canceled his mission a long time ago. And there's new things that come out every single day. New information. Vayishma Yisra. The past. I hear a report of what happened in the past. Re'iya is always, usually, or at times, is associated with the future. Ezehu chacham haroye es hanoilat. Doesn't say Ezehu chacham hashoymeya es hanoilat. Ezehu chacham haroye, a wise man, I can already see what's going to happen in the future. The prophets, the Nevi'im, it's a chazoin, a mare, about Mashiach, the future. Re'iyah, more often than not, is associated with the future. Shemiyah, a report, You hear a report. Shmi means a report. What happened? That is the past. After Matan Torah, it says, V'chol ha'am royim es ha'kolos. What does that pasuk mean? They knew how to go forward in life. Royim means to move forward, to go ahead. Royas ha'noilat. Based upon the koil, the hearing of the Aseres HaDibros, the report. Now that we have received the Torah, we have a guidebook, we have a guide, we've heard Matan Torah, we have learned the secrets of this world, now we're able to plot a course going forward in life. We have goals, ambitions, a purpose, a mission, how to go forward. Most of the Goyim, they're clueless. They have no goals, no missions. They just roam the streets. Do this, do that. Lockdown, lock this. And just why are people in a state of bewilderment and confusion? There are no goals. What's the purpose of all this? What's the goal? What, where are you heading? What's the purpose? When there are no goals, so everything becomes just a big mishmash. When you have a mission, you have an understanding of purpose, then you have a mission. You have a mission. You have a goal. You have yearning to achieve. No emuna of what comes next. It's a different life, a different world. Klal Yisrael here was Mekabel the Torah. They heard. The Aseres HaDibros was an experience of Shemiyah. They heard about the Torah that existed before the world was created. The Torah that existed forever. The Torah was always around. Now that they have heard about the Torah, they have Mekabel, something that is described of Shemiyah. Now they enter into a madrega of royim. We can use the information that we have to be royah es hanoilad, to plot a course in life going forward. That's the message of a chol ha'on royim es hakolos. Rabbi said, time is up. Thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos and an enjoyable Kabbalah Satora. Amen. Amen.